Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
The Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Justice Radio presents the Star Chronicles.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! And gold.
Welcome back, Cowboys Nation. This is the Star Chronicles Cowboys Football Podcast, episode number 20. We finally made it to 20, and great thing is that we get to celebrate a victory. The Cowboys end up routing the Los Angeles Rams 44-21. Got my co-hosts Lisa, Kyle, and Ron with me this evening. Let's go ahead and just start talking about this wonderful game, kind of unexpected. Let's go to Crazy Ron first, since he was the only one who predicted that we had a shot.
Yes, 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 I did. And I will not put my Stephen A. Smith face on and do my laughter or anything like that, because, yeah, I'm not even going to consider that I did all this extensive research. I just had a feeling. I just had a feeling. This is just one of those games where all season it just looked like we were always favored or close to being favored in a game. And this was just one that it just didn't look like it was going to go well for us. And I said, you know what? We're going to probably win. And it happened.
Yeah, well, don't compare yourself to Stephen A. Smith.
No, because
if you look closely, actually, he has an earpiece dead stuck in his ear that gives him like 95% of the information he actually provides to the listener. So, yeah, I mean, if you listen closely, he gets a lot of things wrong when he's talking about stats. That's because the stats people are giving him the wrong information.
Yeah.
But anywho, what's your overall opinion about the game, Lisa? I'm sure you're happy and doing cartwheels.
No, not really. I mean, obviously this feels better than the last, 21 days or whatever, but it almost, I don't even know, like, of course it was great, and but I had already resigned myself to the fact, I was like, we're gonna lose, okay, no stress, today's an easy day. I had the game on, and then it was like, oh, okay cool, what, and it's just, I'm more confused now than ever, and it is, like I've said 1,000 times, the absolute worst relationship I've ever been in.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Lisa. And like with me, I don't know if this team has got its stuff together finally and everything just clicks, or is this that horrible child on Christmas Eve where he's like the best child that you ever may had in your entire life. Because, Santa might get him something nice and stuff the next day. I mean, this is really like the equivalent. I don't know if this is fool's gold or not. And so is this fool's gold? Is this the horrible kid that decides to be a good kid on Christmas Eve? What is your thoughts, Kyle?
You know, like you guys said, it's hard to figure out what this team is. I mean, we're sitting here week 16, and we still don't know what the hell this team is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the second best game they played all year. I mean, probably the first best game they played all year. Then, I mean, I think when you think about it, they've only actually played two real complete games all season. This game and the Eagles game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, those losses were very just like, what the hell happened? Even the victories, the first, like when they, what was the score of the Dolphins game at halftime? You know what I mean? It was close, wasn't it? I mean, they just.
Yes.
But the only two games this season that they've dominated and played a complete game on all phases have been this game and the Eagles game. So it's, and those were how many weeks apart? You know what I mean? Like, it just,
yes.
I don't know. Like you said, it's, is this fool's gold? I mean, does it take a team to week 15 to figure it out? I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I really hope that's the case, and it took this many games for them to just to figure it out, because it is like prime time to figure it out, a great time to finally figure it out. Troy Aikman stated that, a team, the Cowboys, if they play like this, consistently, there's not many teams that want to compete against this Cowboys team playing like this. What are your thoughts on that, Lisa?
Agree, 100%. If that team shows up every week, then I can go ahead and book my tickets. Mm-hmm. Because there's not one team in the NFL. The only team that makes me go, if that team shows up yesterday, there's only one team that gives me pause. And that's on the AFC side. And we wouldn't see them until the Super Bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Specifically Lamar Jackson. I mean, he alone makes me nervous.
Yeah.
If that team yesterday shows up and you know, like Ron said all along, we match up, you know, even the bad us, we match up well with Seattle. But that team yesterday, think about it. We barely lost. Now, granted, New Orleans didn't have their backup quarterback, but we barely lost to them. We came back and had a shot against the Packers. We haven't played the 49ers, but the 49ers got beat by Atlanta yesterday. Like, who in the NFC at that point scares you? Nobody. Exactly. If we play like we did yesterday. Now, if we play like we did against the Bears, I mean, the Bucks scare me, you know? So it's like, okay, who are you, though?
Which was my point that I made when I made a comment when you said, well, you said we match up better against the Seahawks. I'm like, yes, but based upon what we did against the Rams, I'm not too far of thinking that if we matched up against the 49ers and play like we did, I'm not afraid of anybody right now. I wouldn't be, because I know this is not going to be probably the same team we're going to see for the rest of the season.
I mean, I agree with that, but you got to look at them in big perspective, something that the Cowboys haven't done this year. Two touchdown drives over 90 yards. You know, there's not many football games you're going to lose if you can put up 14 points and 290-yard drives in one game. That's taking up a lot of time off the clock. What do you think about that, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes down to a postseason game, if we're going into the postseason, like Aikman said even last week, roster-wise, I think most – how many coaches would say, I'd rather have, you know, the Cowboys roster than their team roster. I think a lot of franchises would love the Cowboys roster. What it comes down to, it's just like, I, you know me, man, I'm always harping on coaching. Can this coaching staff do this two games in a row? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It was an impressive win in all three phases of the game. But can they do it back to back? You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. You know,
what do you guys think? We'll go ahead and kick it back to Ron. Do you think this victory was because of coaching or just because of execution?
Man, that's a very good question. It's a very good question. I am not sure, Troy. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, because I think we all have the same sentiment on this program.
He turned on a motivational video. The players had their backs up against the wall, like Kyle said, 3 weeks ago. And it didn't work that 3 weeks ago when we were looking for it. But I guess it all finally came together. Their backs up against the wall. Garrett's motivational video, and we got what we got yesterday.
Yeah, what's your thoughts, Lisa?
I mean, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Like you can't have a thing like yesterday with. This is why I get so frustrated, because it is hard to say, but you had to have a little bit of both to do what you did yesterday. I mean, and then the frustration comes in. And if that's the case, and, you know, I saw a thing on Twitter last night where Sean Lee said, or I think it was Sean. No. Yeah. I think it was Sean Lee, or somebody said that whatever speech that Jason gave Saturday night was hands down one of the best speeches he had ever heard. I'm sorry, but if it took that to get this to show up, like, where was that effing speech? And I almost said it. I almost said the word. I almost said it. I caught myself. Where was that speech 12 weeks ago? Like, we were 3-7 since I told you that in the group text. We were 3-7 since the Dolphins game.
Yes.
What? Then you should have done the speech against the Jets for sure.
And you know what's funny? I said this before when it comes to Garrett and this team. Like, when their backs are truly, truly against the wall, they'll do things that they should be doing. Like like yesterday and the tech group chat, Pollard and Zeke in the backfield at the same time. How many weeks have we been talking about that? How many, and blitzing on a fourth down?
Since when he got drafted.
Yeah.
You know, the defense blitzing on a fourth down. When does the Dallas Cowboys blitz on any down, let alone fourth down? They always play it safe. You know what I mean? And like, so that's what worries me, is they get out of their comfort zone for this one game because their backs truly are against the wall. And then like, okay, we got that momentum. Now let's go back to what we do. Let's do what we do. You know what I mean? So that's, like I said, that's what, you know, that's why I still can't put my finger on the pulse of this team, because I'm consistent, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering with this Jason Garrett speech, motivational speech, did they have an interpreter and stuff along with them? Just, you know, because, you know, I'm sure he just clapped the whole thing with Morse code. And he probably had to, you know, probably had to have an interpreter what he was actually clapping to the players. Yeah. But, I'm just not 100% sold. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Would you be sold if they go to Philly and beat the brakes off of Philly like we did when they were here? Because I'm still not sold. Even if
me neither.
Because
I mean, Philly has limped.
They limped into. I mean, legit. Alshon Jeffrey now has had surgery. Yep. And that particular injury that he has is one of those that if I can't think of the name right now, but if I said it, you would know. And it's like one of those where you go, oh gosh, like it may not, I mean, it's not as bad as like Alex Smith's leg that was snapped in probably 12 different places, but like, mm-hmm. It's one of the bad ones. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's not so much like gruesome so much as where the injury is and how, mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, like they had to score twice in 2 minutes to beat the Redskins. They had to come from against the Giants. So do you, mm-hmm. really feel better about yourself if you go into Philly and beat them? Like, no, but
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I mean, not
if
yeah.
you do, you win the East. Meh. So
at 8-7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just going to have to, I mean, I just need to see way more. But let's go ahead and do this, because we're going to delve more into the – which side of the ball you guys want to talk about next in the next segment? Offense or defense?
Let's just start with offense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about some offense here on the Star Chronicles. But briefly, everyone's probably trying to figure out what are we going to do when the offseason's over. Well, I got a secret for you. We have several shows that are going to be coming out after delving into basically topics all of the above. Even me and Kyle, we got a movie review show that's going to end up happening next week, because we're going to watch the new Star Wars movie, because we're Star Wars geeks. But we are. It's just what it is.
I'll admit that. Yeah.
But we do have another show that's coming up. It's called The Knights at the Sound Table. Why don't you go ahead and check out the trailer, and we'll be right back here only on the Star Chronicles.
This is Brian.
This is Castor.
Yo, this is ED.
This is Darius Lewis.
This is Troy Hill. And you're listening to the Knights at the Sound Table.
Strip club voice and shit. Anyway.
I'm letting them know that they're listening to the Knights.
No,
the
Knights
at the Sound Table.
We sitting at the table, son.
Yes. I might also add in that Brian's the only person got a Tinder profile pic and stuff on his thing here.
You're dying, man.
How's we gonna get through a podcast, man? Cause we be dying.
Yeah, was that Ric Flair in the background?
we going in the realms that I'm not familiar with, man.
You 50 years old with some skinny jeans and
I'm not physically designed to wear skinny jeans.
Yeah.
I would need to have like skinny jeans like a kangaroo pouch down there. Because I couldn't wear them any other kind of way.
We are back with the Star Chronicles, getting ready to dive into the offensive side of the ball with the Dallas Cowboys. And a pretty impressive performance by the Dallas Cowboys offensively. What are your thoughts on that, Lisa?
I'm going to give you a statistic that's about to blow your entire mind.
Okay.
Okay, if I told you going into this game, if I said, you know what, I am suddenly the fortune teller of the world, and our receiving core that is comprised of Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb, they are going to have total yards receiving of 22. What would you have predicted the score to be?
About 5,000 to 3.
The opposite of what it was. Yeah, just switch out the logos.
Yeah. So I didn't even, it didn't even dawn on me during the game, really, their lack of production. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that statistic on the, I think I heard it on the radio either last night or today, or I saw, I don't know when I heard it. And I was like, surely to God, that is not correct. Oh, yeah, it is. And that, I think looking at that visually, and even the biggest chunk of the receiving yards we had were on that one play to Tavon. And it's like, if you can put up that many points without having to pass 49 times, that is your identity. And you should never, your game plan, if you run it like you did yesterday, then that's not, you can go back to 1990s. That's what we do, and we do it well, and we're better at it than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because your offensive line has established they prefer and are better at run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, and a big shout out needs to go out to the offensive line because they had everything hitting on all cylinders.
Best game of the year, yesterday. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by far.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, Ron?
I mean, just like you said, 200 some odd yards of rushing on the ground. We've been saying, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. I mean, I got confidence in Dak, but almost with any quarterback, well, not really, because, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. People just love to see them flinging it all over the field like Patrick Mahomes. But I'm good with, because we have Ezekiel Elliott, with us putting the ball on the ground and just keep running down people's throat as long as it's effective. I mean, you've got two legit running backs back there. The last time I seen probably something like this, and I'm not going to go too far back because we can say Dorsett and Herschel Walker, but I think even more relevant, I think it was we had, was it Felix Jones and maybe Julius Jones, I think, was in the same backfield for a little bit. And we got into the playoffs, ran over the Eagles.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, it just seems like this team is so quick to deviate from what they do and what we all know they can do. What's your thoughts, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you guys hit the nail on the head there. It was, like we said earlier, just they were just, you know, they utilized the fullback a lot more. I noticed that in the first half. They're using, you know, had Olawale out there, you know, going, you know, using two running backs, Pollard and Zeke in the backfield, which I always thought was a smart choice because – they both bring something different to the game, in my opinion. And if you got both of them back there, if I'm a defense, who's getting the ball and what are they going to do? You know what I mean? Because we saw, man, Pollard, he has an explosiveness, man. And
oh, he does.
Nice to see them actually. How many times we've seen this team just run the ball up the middle for 1 yard, up the middle for 2 yards, up the middle for no yards, up the middle? Like they got to get to the corner sometimes and, you know, go off tackle a little bit. You know what I mean? It was nice to see them do that, I thought. And it was, you know, it was refreshing to see Witten with a one-handed catch. That was
pretty really phenomenal. Cool. Yeah.
I was laughing when I saw that because I don't expect that from Witten. It's one of those games where you could laugh and be like, enjoy it. Like, how many victories this season, are we able to, like, well, other than the crappy teams we beat, but how many games lately could we just, like, enjoy it? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it was just, like, you know, just seeing Witten out there, like I said, that was the one most insane catches I've ever seen him make.
I have a question about Jason Witten. I want to know, I mean, we're rolling on this. We're all standing here at the dock and stuff. We got the boat here and stuff. And I'm
the dock of the bay.
Exactly, Mr. Ronnie Redding. But am I the only person gonna take that step into the boat that I still want to see more of Blake Jones?
No doubt.
I think he's clearly better than Jason Witten, and he offers a dynamic to this team that
he's more athletic for sure. Yeah, and I wish they would utilize him. That's my only, you know, get the ball. Like, scheme plays for Jarwin more. I think that's what I would do. But
yeah, I mean, it's like I'm not saying that Blake Jarwin is Jason Witten in any stretch of the imagination. I like to compare his athleticism more so to a Jay Novacek. I mean, because I do see that level of athleticism that he has compared to Jason Witten.
I think their hesitation on him in the beginning of the season was maybe he was not as good of a blocker as Jason Witten. But like, I was watching him specifically yesterday, and he was doing a hell of a job when they would line up, even with two tight ends. You know, when they went, you know, on a couple of the third and shorts, or even some of the, you know, the fourth and goal or third, you know, when they were, you know, way inside the red zone, you know, they would go heavy on that one side, and, you know, he wasn't getting blown up, and he was in a, you know, he did really well, I thought. And I think the main reason why, you know, we've talked about it before, Ron, I think you're the one who brought it up, was that they want Jason to get that record, and you know.
I was just about to say, as soon as I got a chance.
Mm-hmm. No, I want him to have the record too. Me too, but at the same time, is it?
Because we were saying that at the beginning of this, we were like, you know, the hesitation for putting Jarwin in the beginning is because blocking and all that, blah blah blah. Exactly. But now, what's the hesitation down the stretch? The record.
Well, and
the record is the reason down the stretch. Until Witten gets that record, you want to see more of Jarwin? Go ahead and let Witten break the record. You'll start to see a little bit more of him, I believe.
Well, I hope we break the record next week.
Yeah.
Because, be nice.
And the thing with Jarwin, the key difference in the two is, you know, with the exception, you know, there was a couple of passes that Jason Witten caught where he may have gotten a couple, two or three, five maximum more yards once he catches it. Like, he is going to go down essentially exactly where he catches
the ball.
And Jarwin at least is going to get you
exactly
some yards after the catch. And, you know, he is pretty athletic, and he, you know, for a tight end especially, like, I thought he moves really well. He's pretty fluid. Like, it doesn't seem real erratic like some of the tight ends you see. And so ultimately I think that's going to be, you know, same way we were talking about, you know, like Pollard and Zeke, I think two tight end sets aren't a bad look either, because you can't really, you know, okay, you know what Jason brings to the table, but then to account for that, you know, to account for Jarwin too, that's a pretty big task. And then are you, you know, so I think it brings a different look to the, you know, to the whole front. But I definitely think it's, you know, I'm like, y'all, let's let Jason break the record in the first quarter, and let's go ahead and move to the, you know, to the next phase. And I'm not saying Jason Witten needs to retire again by any stretch, but let's try something different.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Was Dak sacked in this game? I can't even remember.
He was not.
I don't remember him either.
So let's talk about the battle of King Kong versus Godzilla. Smith and Darnold looked like
they were bad. It wasn't. It honestly, it was not. It wasn't Tyron Smith that kept Aaron Donald in check. It was Suofilo.
Suofilo did a good job. Hell of a job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That was the matchup most of the day.
Yeah.
Because they
I heard that in the background.
I'm like, what?
Yes.
LA moved. I mean, they moved. He was moved inside more than he was outside. So Tyron. Tyron and Donald didn't have many matchups at all.
There must have been some chipping going on.
It had to have been something, because that's a whole lot of man to be sitting there trying to block.
Yeah.
You know, somebody had to chip somewhere.
Well, even the guys on, you know, like all the sports talk radio where it's that, you know, watching film and watching this game in detail is their job. Like, even they were saying, you know, Suofilo he did a hell of a job yesterday.
Yeah, wow.
Because that's a grown man. I mean, y'all laugh at me when I say that all the time, but that is a grown man in number 99. And I would give up pretty much most of my soul for him to come and join this roster. He's about on the same level for me as Jamal. Like,
Jesus.
Give me those two, I'm good. Like, you don't even have to pay any other defensive player. Just give me those two, and I like my odds.
Well, speaking of the defense, let's go ahead and go into a quick break and do a little sponsored message by the fine people at Anchor. And let's delve into the resurgence of the Hot Boys only here on the Star Chronicles. are back with the Star Chronicles episode 20. We've talked about the offensive side of the ball. Let's go ahead and delve into the defensive side of the ball. What are your thoughts on the defense, Lisa?
Well, I mean, that's a good, the Rams have a good offense. I mean, they had struggled like we had several weeks ago, but the last couple of weeks they played really well. And they, you know, after, I can't remember who they played last week, but was it Seattle?
Seattle.
Yeah. They look like they were going to be back in the mix, but you know, they have a lot of weapons. I was really concerned about their outside weapons for sure, but you know, I think we played really well. I thought, I feel like Antoine Woods really played well.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah. So that I think made a big difference. I think it further goes back to our point that we made earlier in the season. Like if your front four are playing well, then you don't leave your linebackers exposed, which then doesn't leave your corners exposed, which then doesn't leave your safeties exposed. So, exactly, you know, but yeah. I did find a funny thing. I found myself one time Jalen Smith did something and it wasn't a big sack or it wasn't an interception or it wasn't anything major. And when he got done, he jumped up and I was like, don't.
Me too. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was like, don't do it.
I became my mother and I was like, don't you even think about it.
Oh my God.
And he did it. So funny. And he did not do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I know. Because it looked like he was winding me up to do it. And it just kept walking. I was like, thank God.
Yeah. That tells me he's been reading. He's been on Twitter.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I got tired of seeing that over.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I stepped on the field. Swipe.
Yeah.
You know, so what was your thoughts on the defense, Ron?
Oh, man. Sean Lee was resurrected, man. I don't know who did the seance or what it was over him that brought him back out of nowhere. But he looked like Sean Lee of old.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we needed it. He came back in the nick of time.
No, he most certainly did. I mean, he definitely looked 10 years younger. You know, yes. I mean, he was definitely all over the place, you know. Man. And I mean, you know, it's like I was really happy for the guy because, you know, he's been injury plagued like forever. I mean, I think he's only had one season where he wasn't injured, right?
Yeah, 2016. I think we wait.
There probably was an 8-8 wasted year, probably, or 5-11 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but back to the defensive line. Let's go to Kyle on this one. What's the word on pressures and stuff this game?
I hate you.
Besides Bennett, there really wasn't much pressure. I mean. What I saw on stat today was he had 8, and no one else in the rest of the line had more than 1 quarterback pressure. So.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's because he's the only one not being double-teamed, probably, because he's busy jumping off sides.
I mean, there ain't that many people across the line. I mean, really?
Well, Malik Collins and
DeMarcus Lawrence both getting double-teamed.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
All I'm saying is 7th-round pick still doing cartwheels. That's all I'm saying.
Even when he jumps off sides to keep it dry.
And as I look at the scoreboard, I'm like, we're killing this team. It doesn't matter this day. So he gets a hall pass for that game.
I wonder if that has something to do with their focus on stopping the run than rushing the passer. I wonder, you know what I mean? Like, if your game plan stop the run, we need to stop Gurley because he was awful.
That's probably what it was. He probably got a good point there, Kyle.
So
he got a good point.
Yeah. Let's stay our gap because integrity, let's stay our lanes, and just focus on running back, you know?
Well, they didn't want to get gashed like in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so like overall, I mean, I thought it was the best game I've seen from Jordan Lewis all year. I mean, to hold Cooper Kupp, basically nothing the entire game except for a guard drive in the fourth quarter. I mean, he played phenomenal. That's the whole defense played well. I give him credit. They all played well.
Yeah. Made tackles and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that overall they did pretty well. I still want more. I'd like to get some sacks in there.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
I caught myself spitting out my drink on a couple occasions and stuff when I seen them blitzing, actually. I thought that was nice.
A corner
like, wow.
Out slot blitz, yeah.
Wow, how many times we've seen that? Oh, a blitz and stuff. What the – I had to look into my – my football rule book to even see what I was trying to figure out, confirm what I was watching. Yeah. I'm like, yes, they are blitzing. I mean, that's something else we've been talking about this on the show for like the last like and several weeks.
And they're blitzing the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because see, one thing is to send a blitz. But if you're going to blitz, send the right person.
Yeah.
Send someone, and no disrespect, because Jordan Lewis, he's actually got a good bit of interceptions since he's gotten in the lineup. But I'm like, he's also given up a lot of yards, too. You got Cheeto on one hand, him on the other hand. Number one, it just seems like he's got the speed, and he just knows what to do once he gets in that backfield. So I think he's sending the right guy. Yeah.
He's just a solid all-round player.
I used to despise when we blitzed Orlando Scandrick back in the day. Mm-hmm. He would get back there, and I'm like, really? What was that? I remember he hit Wentz one time and bounced off. I was like, are you serious? I'm like, what kind of hit was that? I'm like, man.
Well, let me go ahead and stop Lisa real quick from doing her cartwheels over the seventh round pick of Michael Bennett. What was your overall opinion of the defense, Lisa?
You know what? Michael Bennett wears me smooth out, jumping off sides. I'm going to say that and it's not like this was the first game that, you know, I get it, whatever, the game was out of hand. But I can't condone the eight prior to yesterday.
Can you
he had eight offside penalties.
Let me ask you this. Can you condone Tyron Smith good for one holding and stuff every single game?
One holding.
No, I never said I could.
I'll take one.
Okay, I'm just asking.
He had two on one.
But I don't. Did he get called for one yesterday?
Nah. I'd be surprised if he didn't, but I don't think he did.
And net, if I have to put them both on a bench and say which one do you pick to start, it's Tyron Smith all day long. So yeah, you can hold.
I don't know.
You wear a knee brace on your arm. You can absolutely hold.
I don't know. I just seen several plays yesterday where either Goff was throwing the ball or somebody was getting ready to do something offensively, and I would see Michael Bennett right there in the thick of things, and that's what I like. So, again.
Fair. I'm still kind of middle of the road. Like, I like the fiery speech, and that's what made me make a confession, which, by the way, officially I'm withdrawing my confession today. I'm still back to the middle of the road with him because, ultimately, you're not that good that you make me overlook these penalties. Because, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about yesterday. Didn't matter at all. Did not matter one bit. This is a trend. This has happened since the minute you got here. So my concern for that is, he was dirt cheap. Get it. Totally understand. Mm-hmm. Worth the seventh round pick, because what are you really going to get in the seventh round? Probably not anything. Mm-hmm. But if you are in a game and your playoff games, assuming there will be at least one, they will be critical. And you have done nothing to show that that is not going to happen again. So whatever. Cool. I'll go to the next subject. I'm hard. I've been super critical. We all have. I have Cheeto. I want to give Cheeto a little more credit. Yesterday, I felt like even he had a little more ball presence.
Yeah.
Good job, Cheeto.
Stand up more.
Good job, Cheeto.
Yeah.
And exactly. I didn't feel like one thing that did concern me is, you know, Jalen is the quote unquote, he is the captain. He was elected captain. But Sean Lee was moving him around a bunch yesterday, like telling him, no, you got it. You know, and while it worked, obviously, because I felt like he was, you know, like y'all talked about earlier, like stay in your lane, you know, monitor your gaps and where you're supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of that was coming from Sean Lee. I get it. A lot of that is Sean's preparation. Sean knows exactly what the play is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he knows.
Yeah.
But what does it take for Jalen to get to that point? Like, how long did it take Sean Lee to get to that point?
Oh, how about it didn't take Sean Lee very long, I don't think. Jalen Smith needs to stop swiping and stop sitting there being just falling into that social media hoblodge of the damn Dallas Cowboys that they're superstars and get to work.
Well, we don't know. You don't know the time he's putting in.
I can guarantee you that's the damn problem. He's young. He's young, and that's how these players are today.
You know what's funny?
It's as simple as that.
Jesse Holly told a story last week, and it's funny you mentioned that. He said he was on the team when they drafted Bruce Carter. Remember Bruce Carter back like what?
Oh yeah,
yes,
North Carolina.
Yes, exactly.
University.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesse Holly went to school there. He said, and this is what he said. He told Carter, he said, if you want to be great and last in this game, do everything Sean Lee does. He says, eat what he eats, sleep when he sleeps, and stay in the film. Because he said, even Holly said, no one watches more game film and preps more than Sean Lee. He said, coming from Jesse Holly, a wide receiver, and he said, unfortunately, Bruce Carter just didn't really put in the work as much as he should have, and it also happened at the end of his career. And, you know, I like Jalen Smith, and his story's good, so I feel like maybe he spent I think maybe he spends a lot of time, you know, in the rehabbing and focusing on the physical aspect of it. I think if he just, you know, gets more mentally, like the Sean Lee aspect of it, I mean,
right.
Like you said, Sean Lee is just on a different level of intellectual when it comes to the game, you know.
Yeah, like when that All or Nothing, you know, when we all saw that, you know, after, of course, that was, you know, almost a season and a half later, but. Mm. You know, the way it ended that year was Sean Lee was the last. I mean, everybody else was leaving for the off season.
Yeah,
and Sean Lee is in the linebacker room watching film some more.
Well, they said the year he blew out his knee, he was in every meeting taking notes as if he was going to play. You know what I mean? He just
future linebacker coach.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm. And possibly head coach.
Oh, he's
He'll start off. He'll start off as an assistant, and mm-hmm. he will work his way just like all the other
100%.
Other defensive assistants have became head coaches down the line.
I mean, mm-hmm. I think people like Sean Lee and Jason Witten, they're just a breed of player that's just dying off in the NFL.
Yeah. I think Dak has that.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's what I've read.
Oh yeah.
But he's the anomaly of that age bracket.
Yes,
mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah,
I mean, it's not like a knock on Smith and players that, but I do think if I was in the position to have all that damn talent, and I got a student of the game that monitors and all these different things, and Sean Lee, I'd be trying to pick his brain as much as I possibly mm-hmm. could. You know, and speaking about defense again, LVE, is he done for the season?
I'm gonna go ahead and stick a fork in him.
They said he'll be ready in two weeks. They said,
yeah, I heard he's supposed to get an MRI after the Philly game to see if his neck has made progression because they're not gonna put him in his reserve, so they're not ruling out his season. But like, I heard he's gonna get an MRI after Philly. That's all I've heard. So,
okay, now I've heard everything you guys. I've heard Kyle, I've heard Lisa, but Ron said something that kind of sticks out. Stick a fork in him. Explain further. Because stick a fork sounds like maybe done more so than just the season.
I don't know. I hope and I pray the guy gets to get back on the field, but I'm almost getting myself in the mindset that he may not suit up for the Cowboys again. I don't know.
What? I don't know if it's that serious. I hope not. I just spent $100 on a damn jersey.
I don't know.
He better play again.
It was that serious when he was in college.
On a damn jersey. He better play.
It was that serious when he was in college.
Yeah.
And now he's a lot harder in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna stand on the Ron side with this one. But you know what? We're gonna fix this whole problem. If we drafted T.J. Watt, this never even would have been a conversation to begin with.
That's another one you're just we're going to have to just let go of.
I can't even. I'm sorry. I can't let go of that one either.
It's hard.
I just can't imagine that T.J. Watt would have came in here and done what we thought or think he would have done in our defense. I just don't think it would have happened.
Man, I'm telling you.
He would have looked like Jalen Smith. I think we would have not – really would not have brought out the best in him in our defense.
TJ Watt got me standing out like in Lake Minnetonka, like Prince and stuff. you know, thinking about when doves cry and stuff. He should have been our player.
100%, I agree. I think he would have been
probably
then. That's for damn sure.
He's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And right, I mean, totally. I mean, that's justifiable because he is. He's a one man wrecking show. Mm-hmm. You know, that defense is what's keeping them. Mm-hmm. You know, holy hell. On a side note, did y'all see literally Big Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh my God, he looks terrible. Headlines? Yeah.
He looks like Matt Patricia.
Oh, wow.
He looks like Seth Rogen. That's what he looks like.
I missed it.
Everybody on Twitter's comparing him to the guy on the Abominable Snowman Christmas show.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture. It's funny as hell. I was laughing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's done.
Well, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and take another quick break here from the fine people at Anchor. And let's delve into special teams and looking towards the Philadelphia Eagles, mm-hmm. right here on the Star Chronicles. And welcome back to the Star Chronicles Cowboys Football Talk, episode 20. We're having a great time here. We talked about the game, the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. And now we're going to talk about some special teams that has improved and what we thought, our thoughts on the Philadelphia game that's rapidly coming before us. So, Ryan, what is your overall thoughts and opinions of the special teams this week?
God answers prayers. He's still in the miracle work making business because we finally looks like we got a kicker. Thank you, Kai Forbath.
Yes, Kyle Forbath.
For your contributions.
He's a weird looking guy, isn't he?
I don't care.
He looks like a kicker.
Yeah.
I don't know. He kind of looks like that guy.
He can look like a Keebler elf all I care, as long as he's putting the ball through the upright.
Yeah, I don't know.
One thing that concerned me was the kicks out of bounds. Like, that happened twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure what's going on.
Yeah,
I guess you can't have it perfect.
I don't know. He kind of looks like that guy that has a white van that says free candy written on the side, but in the van there's no candy or anything. Well, that's what he looks like to me.
When y'all get a chance on the sounds from the sidelines, some of the defensive players were talking about his swag, and I was like, he don't have any swag. They were talking about what he wore and all this. I was like, I can't picture that guy walking in with any kind of swag, but... Yeah. Anyway, it was pretty funny.
Wow. Well, that was good, look, because they weren't saying any of that about whatever the other guy's Maher, name was.
Brett.
Yeah, Brett Maher.
There was no talks about, man, he's cool and this and that. And they seem to really have taken to this guy really quick.
Yeah, I just hope he keeps it together for these last two games.
Yeah.
It's gonna be...
Matter of fact, just for the rest of this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, God. It's just really nice for someone to go back and make, you know, kicks like normal kickers make.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that was definitely nice.
So, how much distance have we lost with him?
Probably like about 10 yards.
Yeah.
10 yards.
What do you mean?
10 yards going Mayor back and 10 yards.
Mayor was putting him through from 62,
63. I would say couldn't make one under 50 to
say. No, I'm just saying if it comes down to it.
He also missed a couple
before
60.
We had that luxury. We had that luxury before of, like, if we get across the 50 to kind of take our foot off the accelerator in the past. So,
we'll see now. I mean, this is the difference. So, probably like about 10 yards in depth, and that's going long ways and probably 10 yards in width also. That's the difference with Forbath and Maher. Because Maher.
So, now you're talking about we have to get around the – 35 down versus before you almost just had
just
to just get across
midfield.
Touchdowns
and it won't now, that would be freaking perfect. Matter.
Well, he made what was his long last night? 49.
He kicked 4 yesterday, so the field goals are going to happen.
Oh yeah, fair.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's really all the cover on you know, I mean, you really can't have like 10 minutes on special teams when they're doing what the hell they're supposed to be doing, and then you can't really give them praise when they're.
Can we,
the hell they're supposed to be doing.
Can we get one in the end zone, though, on the return? I mean, I know it's hard.
I don't even need it to be in the end zone. Can we just get it more than 10 yards?
I mean.
Well,
one move and tackle. Really, one move and tackle. That's like everything I see.
I think we're still, yeah, we tackle. Still have the worst starting field position in the entire league.
I mean, there's nobody back there that looks dangerous to me when they get the ball in their hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's true.
I mean, I saw Tavon get the ball, and I'm like, I just want that feeling that I once had when Deion used to be back there, or, you know, it's just, can we just have somebody that just looks dangerous, that
Dwayne Harris, just kind of hesitate? He was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suggest YouTube, Ron, YouTube videos. That's the only way you're going to ever capture that feeling ever again.
Right, man. I know they don't get many opportunities, but at least just make us think that, oh, man, if he had one more block, man, he was going to take that to that. I don't ever get that feeling.
Yeah, no.
But they changed the dynamic of returns in general. That is never going to be what it was.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Yeah. But, I mean, but then I see other people running back kicks, though.
Yeah.
I don't see as much. I don't really see that many anymore.
I don't see any with us.
Well, I'm talking about.
You're right.
About,
you don't see them you used to see them every week. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I mean the NFL. I mean, I don't.
But we don't even
recall
see
seeing several kickoffs.
We go a whole season though.
Yeah,
there's a lot we go a whole season without seeing. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying that's my only thing with the special. Other than that, the special teams. I mean, kicker's good. Everybody's doing their thing. That's just my. I just would love to. See a return go all the way.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Without a flag coming out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
With this team, my two favorite words in a game are no flags.
So, got a big game coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. We can win. We can lock up the division with this victory. So, with this performance of the Rams, coaching, better execution, or just fool's gold altogether? What do you got, Lisa? Cowboys, Philly.
I hate this. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give qualifiers across the board. And this is the chicken ass way out, but it's what I'm going to have to do. We should win this game going away. It should not be close.
I agree.
When I say not close, it should not even be as close as the Rams game, in effect, was not. I mean, the Rams game wasn't close. It should be worse than that.
Because the Rams have better offense, so they was able to close the score a little bit.
Yeah. This one should be over at halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I cannot confidently. I'm going to say Dallas wins. You know what? Damn it all. The Cowboys are going to blow the doors off of this one, and I'm putting it all on the line.
Ooh.
There,
oh,
I said it.
Lord.
Yes.
Say something.
She's putting it all on the line.
Yes, the Cowboys are going to win going away.
Okay, what's your thoughts, Ron?
I wish I could be as super confident as I was last week. But the fact that this is a division rival.
Crazy Ron.
Somebody that's familiar with us. We're on the road. Are we outside? Are we practicing outside this week?
Yeah.
It's going to be cold in Philly.
We should have practiced outside today because it was freezing here today.
Yeah, because it's been real cold.
It's going to be cold in Philly. That's my only concern, is that something just crazy doesn't happen weather-wise, that we have not done good in cold, wet, whatever. I don't see any rain in the forecast, but I do see it's going to get cold, and it's a late afternoon game. The high is like 45, but that will not be the high by the time we start entering into the second half.
Yep.
It's going to be closer to the 30s. And so that's my only concern, is that they can – and it's going to take running the football. We're going to have to do – and it goes back to that, okay, does the same game plan work for the game before? Because we've said what happens when we – okay, it worked before. Let's do it again. In this sense, it should work again, because the Eagles, I don't think they can stop the run. Not both of those guys. If we do it the way we did against the Rams, keep the ball out of Dak's hands and just run the ball strong.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What's your thoughts, Kyle?
Oh man, I'm one of you guys. This is just so hard because, like I said, there's not one. Hate more than Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I watch a lot of their games just because I like, if I ever argue with Eagles fans, I want to at least be like, No, I watch games too. I know what I'm talking about, but I don't know, man. Philly, they're literally just like us. They you don't know what you're getting week to week, you know.
Exactly.
I mean,
true.
My biggest fear is, like I said, Dallas just going back to what they did for the past 3 weeks, though. You know what I mean? And just, I don't know. I just, something, I'm not saying I have a bad feeling about the game, but I'm definitely not super confident about it, you know? I mean, something, look, I'm telling you right now, if this defensive line is going to give Carson Wentz extra opportunities to score, they're going to do it. I've seen them do it the past 2 weeks. I mean, Eagles, like I said, you know, Dallas always finds a way to play these tight, close games. Eagles do it too. They play tight, close games, and it always comes down to the last possession. You know what I mean? And Carson Wentz, as much as I say, you know, I still would take Dak Prescott. Carson Wentz does play. And I don't know if I want my defense out there with a 3-point lead. You know what I mean? You know, and they are 4 and they have to score a touchdown with it, you know. 2.5 minutes left. You know what I mean? I'm not going to feel super comfortable about that. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. The odds that Dallas plays the way they played this week, 2 back-to-back weeks, it's hard for me to take those – it's hard for me to take that gamble. I don't know. It's just
– Okay, so you're taking an L?
God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, well – Well, we got him on the fence.
I am on the fence. Kyle's not 100% sure. I'm on the fence on this one because, like, all the reasons I just said, can Dallas do it back-to-back? And what Eagles team is showing up, what a Dallas team is showing up. I don't think Dallas – I think Dallas has a hard time covering tight ends. And right now, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz are tearing it up because that's their only options right now.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for somebody of saying that, because I've been sitting here looking at this stat of Higby or whatever his name was for the Rams. When we say he was the only receiver they had, and he had 12 catches for over 100 yards.
Yeah, and
if he's the only guy we had, why was he beating the brakes off of whoever was covering him?
And I'm telling you, they are the same. They are literally the same exact tight end. You can't tell them apart. And I just got a feeling that – and it's funny because Washington, for some reason, last week against the Eagles, Zach Ertz just was open by 10 yards all the time when they needed him to be. And it's just one of those things where I just hope Dallas doesn't, you know, we're going to blitz, you know, not blitz, but pressure, and then forget about the tight end, you know, who's, you know, chipping and going to release after, you know, blocking for 2 seconds. I just.
Yeah. You guys want to know a fun fact about Dallas Goedert?
Sure.
We almost had
he it. Was actually on a yeah he was on the Cowboys board he was on our board for selection but Philadelphia
yeah,
Philadelphia just snuck in there took him before
yep.
us
I know.
Yeah. that then draft
so that yeah that's a true story you know yeah. but okay so you're on the fence that's fine that's fine but this is what I'm gonna do we're still looking at the
give
boat
me, you stuff. Know if you were to ask Lisa's me on Saturday sick. I think I'd have a definite answer but right here on Monday I don't know.
It's too soon.
Okay, well, we're on the dock and stuff. Lisa's sitting in a boat, and I'm directing Lisa to slide the hell over because I'm with Lisa on this one, and we're getting ready to paddle this boat like off a damn cliff if we have to. But let me tell you something: if it's not Dr. J or Rocky Balboa, I could give a kicker's damn about Philadelphia. We are gonna punch them dead in their damn throat. We're gonna run the ball. They got the blueprint. Against the Rams, they're going to sit there and accept this is how you win football games, and they're going to do the same damn thing to Philadelphia on Sunday. Book it.
Okay, I have some points to bring, you know, Ron and Kyle into the boat.
You get those life preservers?
The light bulb just came on for me. Remember these facts, gentlemen. They are the same way they are familiar with us. Mm-hmm. We are familiar with that. They also do not have a winning record. And we have done exceedingly well against NFC East opponents.
Good.
Probably the biggest point differential that we've had all season are against our own crappy division.
Okay.
And they are hobbled. More hobbled than when we beat them 37-7.
Okay, you know, I'm with you on that because I saw today that our record against Philadelphia under the Garrett regime He's 7-2 in Philadelphia. So I give him that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think Jason Garrett's record on these games that are win and in is atrocious. That's my only thing. Like, I remember a couple years I saw it because you know, there's always those games where you win this game, you're in the playoffs, and he's awful in that. And that's what this is. This is a win and in game. And I don't trust Garrett. I don't trust him in a win and in situation. Just given what I gotta pull up that stat for you guys. It's not good. His record is not good.
Okay. It's like coming off of a bye.
It's like it's one of those things. Yeah, but it's just like I said, win and in scenario, he's awful. So I don't know. Yeah, that's why I'm on the fence. That's why I'm on the fence. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Anybody else going to join us in the boat yet?
I'm listening to Lisa. She made some valid points. If for some reason I closed my eyes, and as I did that, a zero started floating through my mind as though someone's going to get shut out on a Sunday.
I'm sliding over in the boat. I'm waving. I'm reaching. I'm extending my hand to you.
I don't know why that came. It's almost like the movie Ghostbusters, where everybody's supposed to clear their minds, and one guy didn't clear his mind, and all of a sudden,
Stay Puft,
Martin Old Man just pops in there.
You know what?
Raise head.
I cleared my mind, and all I can think about is that one game.
Uh-oh.
Doors blown off with Romo. What was that game? Was that 9 or 10?
No!
In Philadelphia? What was that? It was like 44-9 or something like that. What was that? What year was that? Do you remember what year that was?
I know the game.
It was late in the season.
There's a hole in the boat.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I can just see I can just see that happening. I don't know, man.
Now I'm scooping out water.
Jason,
I'm terrified of the water. And I got in the freaking
mouth. Is that happening?
Wait, quick! Someone throws that spray. We can spray at the bottom and stuff, and it seals everything. I mean, I see a commercial.
I'm calling the infomercial right now.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy goes to the Everglades. It's like the whole dam has like a 4x4 inch, like a 4x4 foot, opening at the bottom.
Yeah, the spray.
Going through the Everglades. Yeah, it works on everything. Mm.
Flex seal.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a circle.
If that happens, Jason Garrett for definitely sure is going to get fired. If he gets beat that bad by a team that is hobbled, he's definitely in a game that decides that means he lost the team in just a matter of a week that he gets whatever.
I get to see Doug Peterson, though, knowing that his team is hobbled, coming up with some crazy scheme that Jason Garrett
they won't play
for. I can see that.
Because
we know what Dallas, is injured, they do the same damn thing. No Zeke, we're going to do the same. No Tyron Smith, same damn plays. But Peterson?
Yep.
Because this is an elimination game for them. There is still massive. I think if we. If we lose it's a long shot for sure, but if we lose to Philly and then Philly loses to the Giants, we're still in, correct?
What's that? Is what now?
Philly has to win out. I know Philly has to win out. They have to.
Yeah, Philly has to win out.
Okay, so if we happen to lose to Philly and then Philly loses to the Giants, which, whatever, then we could still get in. So it's not technically an elimination game for us. So that is a concern.
We need to look at it like it's an elimination game.
It's definitely a win and end game, because if they win, they're in.
Right. Yes. Well, and if you lose, you then no longer control your own destiny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You still have to. Mm-hmm. You still have to be.
Yeah, and I don't like that. We need to win and just finish it. Yeah. But anyways, this was a great show.
Yeah, so that was 2008 when that
happened. I remember being in college. Oh, my God. I was so disappointed in that game. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we don't have to have this type of level of disappointment come Sunday.
Yeah.
But we're just about out of time, people. On behalf of myself, Lisa, Ron, and Kyle, we bid you adieu. And hopefully a Cowboys victory on Sunday.
And a division title.
Yes. And... yeah, then we can all get our little stupid T-shirt saying we run the East again. Don't get
you took my goodbye away. Yeah. Say, don't forget, we run the East.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, you go ahead and say it now.
Don't Don't forget, we are about to run the East again. Back to back division champs. Mm-hmm.
Yes, which means absolutely nothing. But
which means we're the least bad of the bad.
Yes, yes.
It absolutely means we're home for the first round of the playoffs.
And that means your girl Lisa Lee is going.
Oh, yeah?
Cool. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm out and stuff. So go ahead and say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
Go Cowboys.
Yes, go Cowboys. I'm in the boat, not a lack water. Yep, I'm drowning.
I'm in the boat, but we got that flex seal going and stuff now. We still good. You guys take it easy. Have a great week.
That zero is freaking me out.
Zero.
Go Cowboys.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.